for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the 2008 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, November the 27th, 2008. Carl Fox is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the curse of poverty.
God bless all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I mean that. Those are not just words. Everything was created by words. And we have got to watch our words. But I'm going to back up here just a little bit because of what Glenn said. I sometimes don't know if it's a privilege or not, but I'm the president of a ministry run about five continents. Most of the work I do is in Eastern Europe. And I have seen God do things that I never would have believed. In the last 3 or 4 years, the dollar is worth half as much as it was. You have no idea. How many of you have to deal with the euro directly? You don't. But I have seen the inflation going on over there. We have seven ministries over there that were the sole support. And I have seen God work it out each and every month. I've had hundreds of people promise to help. And, you know, something happens, they're made out of wax or something. They just kind of melt away. But God don't. And I want you just to really know we do have hard times ahead. Quite a while back, I gathered the people in our church and we had a meeting. And then we have several ministers in churches here in the U.S. And I talked to them. And I said, it's not an issue of fear. It's just an issue of good sense. And if nothing else, if the truck drivers get tired of paying too much for fuel and they sit down, the stores get empty real quick. I mean, I'm not talking disaster, but folks, I believe disaster is coming. And I'm not in to speak in fear, but if you're still caught up in things, get on your face before you go to bed tonight and ask God to forgive you, because it's a trap. My wife and I, through the years, because of not seeing the support we needed, because after all, who wants to help anybody that helps gypsies? They're the scourge of the earth. Who wants to help them? And we sold our house 3 times and put it in the ministry and started over again. And before I came, God made it available. We just paid off our house. I can't tell you how. I really cannot tell you how. But it's paid off. Fact is, the bank owes me $38.80 that they're holding. That's what they call it, you know, to pay taxes and insurance. Escrow. And they hold that for no interest. See, we know which God they're working for. And so to pay it off, I had to let them sit on my money and wait till they get good and ready to refund it. But don't let the things around you distract you. We are probably living in the greatest days of distraction and fantasy that's been known in at least the last 1,000 years. It really is. Everything around us is fantasy, and believe me, that is so satanic. And people are convinced, the doctors are, the people are instructed, good, I don't stay behind it. The people are instructed how to tell the doctor how they can have Sublona or Fudingi or some wild drug. Seriously. I'm a little different than he is about medications. I believe it's a last resort. I think you said that. But about, last January, I busted my body up really bad I had ribs ripped right out of my spine. I had ribs broken here. Ribs broken here. I was bruised from here, clear up to here, around here. My kidney is still a little puffy. And when I finally got back off the desert and got home and I was laying in bed, and I looked down, and every time my heart beat, when you're in bad pain, your heart really beats. And this rib was, the whole rib was busted off on both sides of my heart, and it was moving. You know, you don't let yourself get around a bunch of stinking losers that say I believe, and they never do. All right? I am a blessed man because people that don't believe flee from me. Because I believe. Don't mess with that. I'm not bragging or complaining. I believe. There's been several times in my life, had I not believed, they would have thrown dirt in my face. It is necessary, folks, to believe. Don't mess around with it. Don't mess around with it. If God promised it, take it. It's yours. It's yours. Can your equipment handle my hollering? I get excited. But the thing about it is that if you don't take a stand, I'll guarantee you Satan does. We talk about studying the Bible. If we took all the Bible we know together, Satan would know it better. He is a formidable opponent. But greater is he that's in you, and you, and you, and you, and even you, little sassy girl, than in the whole kingdom of the devil. All right? I just like her, you know. I like you all. You know, the Bible says I gotta love you, but I like you. You're my family. And it's a privilege to really to be here. It is. It's been a long time since I've been here. But it's a privilege. And I am so thankful that God made a way. My schedule got really backed up because when I got busted up, I got behind. And in the last 5 weeks, I've been in Virginia Beach and in Maryland and ministered and went home and went to Romania and come back. Or no, somewhere else. Anyway, it's just been like I feel like I got ball bearings in my pockets, you know. But, because he says it's time to catch up. But the thing about it is God will heal you. I had a man that, or still in my church, and if you put your hand and my hand together, and that's about the size of this man's hand. Wayne Johnson is about, hand's about that thick. Big man. I had trouble rolling a rock one time. We have some property up in the middle of the National Forest. This big old rock, and I rolled enough to get past it. I had Wayne with me. And I said, Wayne, would you help me with this rock? He says, this one? But yet, in all of that, tears his eyes, and he reached right over, and he laid his hand on any command that rib be healed right now. And it was healed, wasn't it? I mean, and surround yourself with people that believe, and you make sure you're a people that believes. Quit messing with it. It's not what you know. You can learn all the Bible there is, and then do not download it at your death. It's gone. It's there for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added. Everything. They talk about food shortage. They talk about this. They talk about that. I got news for you. That's all covered in Matthew chapter 6. You know, God expects us to have a little bit of sense. It's a good idea to have some food stored up. As long as Sheila and I have been married, we've always done it. I grew up out in the country on a farm. I didn't even taste bologna till I was 14 years old. I was bought in the store. I tasted that and I thought, my God, is this what heaven is? Bologna sandwich, white bread. But because we grew everything and it can be done. In fact is, it seemed like, you know, in northern Minnesota, there was, you talk about poor, the depression still went on there. even in 60, when I graduated from high school, there was no jobs up there. You couldn't buy a job. I remember that first winter, I drove truck for a place to stay and $20 a month. And I was thankful for it. But you know what? God took care of me, and I was a non-believer then. So don't let these things... See, because fantasy isn't just lustful thoughts. Fantasy is fearful thoughts. Don't let these things steer you. And do not, Malachi chapter 3, do not let yourself think you can't afford. I just come back from Romania, and it was kind of an emergency trip. In 4 days, I lost two ministers. Dead. Had 21 children without their daddy. The gypsies believe in big families. And I got there. God says, go. And he had been working on me. And I was so tired of going. And I was tired. I sat down for a while. I'm still working on strength, all right? When you spend 2 months in a recliner, you can't lay down. You know, it takes a while to get your strength back. I'm healed. Praise the Lord. I'm healed. You don't have to lay hands on me or feel sorry for me. Don't you dare do that. But the thing about it is that you don't quit. But God told me, because in the spring I went over there, and I was not in very good health, and it really was a hard trip. I had a terrible time. I come home, and Sheila was mad. She said, you ain't ever going back there. So I'm tired of this. They're killing you over there. Wives get real protective. Praise God for that. And I had decided, you know what? These gypsies, and they fight. You know, just like American denominations, I call them. Because there's not supposed to be a schism. They start this thing. And when you have division, what do you call the number you divide by? A denominator, right? A divider. We're not supposed to have that. But it's anyway, if they're speaking Jesus Christ, we're thankful. People are getting saved, we're thankful. But we have got to grip on, folks, and go past all those things. But I just about totally missed. One man lost his life, and they were killed. You don't die in your early 40s. With a house full of children, you don't die. You're killed. Our enemy says steal, kill, and destroy. Right? These men were killed. Last year, it was so cold in Romania, global warming, you know, Al Gore. But in many of these gypsy villages do not have heat. These people are so poor, you have no idea. So what we did is we bought firewood and put it in the churches so there was a warm spot in the village. So you take the disadvantages thrown at you, folks, and you turn them to advantages. You want to invest in something, I'm not asking you, but find somebody that does this kind of thing. Because you know what happened? They went in that church building, total unbelievers, because they were cold. And you know what they're doing in that church? They're singing, they're praising the Lord, they're praying for the sick, they're preaching the Bible. And in the spring, now we don't know how many accepted the Lord, but in the spring, when the ice melted, we had 1,200 people come forward for baptism. Just because of cold weather. Well, we doubled the amount of churches and probably tripled the amount that we put firewood in. And we still got more, hopefully we can do. But the thing is that we have possibly have got to face hard times before we grow up and be real Christian. There are so many people here, just not here because it's not convenient. Oh, it's Thanksgiving Day. Give me a break. It is not Thanksgiving Day unless every day is Thanksgiving Day. Seriously. This place should have to knock the walls out or something. But if we have hard enough times, and I hope it don't happen, but that's when people turn to the Lord. You know, this nation has been so blessed, we have done more evil than any other nation ever. And you know that better than I do, don't you, brother? The things that we've done compared to what Israel ever done in their bad times, it's terrible. And yet God has spared us. I don't know why. Mercy, you better, it's mercy, all right. But you know what? The very things that He blessed you and I with is the very things that we turned against ourselves into a curse. And don't blame Satan. If you blame Satan for it, that's Satan worship. You did it. I did it. What's this have to do with deliverance? Clean up your life and you won't need the deliverance. Clean up my life. I won't need the deliverance, okay? The things that we're doing, we're cursing our grandchildren if the Lord tarries. And He just may. You know, we can know the season, and a lot of people have been wrong on that. But the issue I'm really trying to get you to see, and you know, I'm hearing it too, alright, is that if Jesus Christ is Lord, then that means He's boss. The word for Lord in Romanian is chef. Not a guy that cooks, but it means boss. But it's important, folks. We're talking what we do. You know, Glenn shared some beautiful things, the reality of being able to rule. But you know what? Let's take it back to where we are right now. You know, we have that as our hope. That's our future. But folks, we have got to get serious. I might not get a chance to teach anymore because you all might leave, but I'm not insulting anybody, I hope, but I'm laying it on the line. You know why? Because I love you. If I didn't love you, I'd come anyway because God said come. Okay? But I do love you. I can love you because God loved me. Right? And you got to love me because it's a commandment of the Lord. Right? But it's important, folks. You know, the tithe is only a minimum. And most Christians don't do it. You know, when I got to Romania and I was bone tired and it'd been about 40 hours or better without any sleep, I can't sleep on an airplane for some reason. And I get there and I think, in the morning I'm going to go out and see Vasily. And when they picked me up at the airport, they said, we got to get there now. And I came in at traffic rush time. And we had to go all the way through Bucharest. They don't have freeways around. And so it probably took 4.5 hours to get what would have been 1.5 to 2 hours. But we got there, and I came in, and he was just laying there. And gypsies really wail. I mean, have you ever heard coyotes? Well, if you had them in front of loudspeakers and had hundreds of them, I mean, they wail. And they just wail. And I got in there, and Vasily was a dear, dear friend. I mean, we had a good history together, about 14 years. To me, and I believe to God, he was the Apostle Paul of the Delta region of Romania. But I got there, and his body was cold. And I couldn't feel any heart, and I was just kind of, like I hold my brother's hand, but boy, I'm looking for a pulse, and I know where they are, you know. And there is, I couldn't pick one up. It doesn't mean it wasn't. But I looked in his eye then, and it was like, you know, have you ever looked at a dead person's eyes? There's really no pupil there. And so I prayed, and then it's time to quit praying and start commanding in the name of Jesus Christ. And he came back. We talked, and we prayed. And I was very tired, and I knew that him and his wife had a lot of things that they needed to say. And I called her over, and she knelt down beside him, and I said, just let him know how much you love him. Just pour out your love. I don't know of anything that works like love. And we know 1 Corinthians 13:13, the greatest is love. And so he promised me, I mean, we're talking and he's comprehending well and everything. And I told him, Vasily, I'm really tired. Can I go get some sleep and I'll come back in the morning? Will you promise me you'll live? And he says, I will. But a half hour later, I got a phone call. He was on my cell phone. He was dead. God didn't send me back, and I didn't go back. Well, it was a heavy loss, and we did the memorial service because they don't embalm and all that stuff. And this is gross, but I just want to let you know what it's like when you work with people that are on the bottom side of society. They are very dark-skinned, you know, just really beautiful skin. But within an hour or two of being dead, they turn gray. And then, by the next day when we had the memorial service, he was green. And I've seen this happen. I don't know why. But it's, and these people panic so bad, they're trying to climb in the coffin and everything else, and you're trying to do an honorable memorial service and bring people to the Lord. And it's a tough situation. But anyway, we got all that done and everything. And then I went back, and it was really quite a thing to see. I had chicken back soup. You get chicken backs pretty cheap, you know. And they had a big cauldron, and these old women that probably were in their 80s, and they looked like they were in their 100s, but they cooked it out there over a wood fire. And so they had afterwards, and they fed us, you know. But it was really neat, and I set up the next day to go back and have a meeting. And we have a lot of ministers in that area. And from that area, they've even come to America. They've just gone all over the world. And that was the vision God had given me about them. I don't believe in this missionary junk you go live there and make them like you. Make them into a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Pentecostal. That is not the idea. I believe what you got to do, you find the key people and you train them and they reach their people. And that's what we strive to do. But anyway, so I got the leadership together and we'd had a lot of problems with some of them. I mean, these are people that steal, kill, and destroy was their lifestyle before they accepted the Lord. I mean, you know, it's their life. Nobody, they never worked. Nobody would hire them anyway. The demonations told me, if you work with them, we won't work with you. I said, so long, it's been good to know you. Because they're so religious that they don't even know Jesus. They just know how to spell him, most of them. I said, listen, that's wonderful. Well, they said, they aren't even human. They can't get born again. You say, oh, how could they be so stupid? 100 years ago, they said that in the South about the life. Okay? But these people, when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they change. They really change. And I had to confront some of them real hard because they'd led a denomination that's real big in this country. And some of you probably go to their church. I won't say their name. You know, because we've talked about it. But I told them, if you ever go to and let them come in and take the church and put their name on it, you'll never see me again. I will not have anything to do with that. And I said, there's Norwegians that come down all the time and cause all these problems. If you mess with them, I'm gone. And I said, if I catch you backbiting like you did Vasily, I said, some of your words may have killed this man. Because I said, and I know because I was on my deathbed, it's amazing what Satan does when you're fighting just to stay alive. And he will remind you of all the mean things that have been said to you. And he rehearses those things through you. And I told him, I said, I don't want to talk to any of you about it. I want you to get it cleaned up with the Lord Jesus Christ before you go to bed tonight. You don't want to face judgment for this. So we had a real serious meeting. Now I said, those of you that still want to work with me, we need to get busy. And I said, we have a problem here. We have two of them. I said, what's that? I said, we got two widows. Are you going to look after them? Oh, yes, 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 you know. Praise God. Oh, yes. I said, fine. What's your plan? They didn't have one. I'm kind of a rascal, I guess. But so we had to talk about that. And then I said, you know why? I have taught you for years. And I says, I'm going to get to it in just a minute, because it happens in America too. But I says, none of you are tithing. The reason I know is you're still in poverty. I says, the curse of poverty does not come from Satan. It comes from God. He gave you, and He gave you His too. And He's waiting to see what you're going to do to your, with your portion. And you say, well, you're a fat American, and I am. It's easy for you to talk about that, but we're gypsies. We don't have nothing. But I said, if you start giving God His due, you will see the difference. And there was one man there that had really believed it, and they were all were so full of envy against him. You know why? Because God blessed him. And I said, they're upset with you anyway, so I'm going to use you as an example. And I did. But anyway, so they said, they really seen the heart. They said, we're going to do this. I said, okay, now in each church, you got to find two people, and you got to be real transparent with the finances. And there's got to be two people to keep an eye on each other. So it's going to be interesting to watch this go. But the difference was, and then I says, you know, Vasily needs to be replaced. God already told me who it was. But I said, in the book of Acts, they voted. They took lots. So I says, who do you believe should take Vasily's place? At the memorial service, his son that was 23 years old, his oldest son, had accepted the Lord. And he had a call in his life since he was a little kid, but he had rebelled. And I knew it was supposed to be him. And so did Vasily know that. And all the people said, and I, forgive me folks, I cannot remember his name, but they all said it was him. And I said, that's wonderful, because that's what God has told me already. But I said, there's a problem. He's a novice. And you aren't going to follow his leadership because you're all smarter than him. You all know more Bible. You're all more powerful. I said, don't kid me. But I said, how are we going to deal with this? Well, there's a man sitting there. Tom, you kind of remind him of him. And he's sitting there, and he's just bawling. And I looked over, and he stood up, and he said, he's my son. I am standing in for his daddy. And this is a man that's a leader. And he says, I will serve him so that he can serve God. See, these are miracles, folks. These are miracles. But it takes, sometimes, you have to really take a firm stand on what you believe. Now, you know, the devil pestered me with, you know, if you'd got there sooner, well, maybe yay, maybe nay. I can't change that now. But praise God, when you work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you don't care what people say, you just listen to what the Lord says, you will get results. They will happen. You couldn't stop them. You know, you just can't stop them. But there's a powerful thing, and there's a powerful curse on our land. And one, of course, is because of abortion. I'm not going to get into that. And you could say, well, you know, the man that's elected, he's our Messiah. Some people are saying that. Well, you know what? We really didn't have a good choice for a lot of years. Okay? We've chosen between two evils. And I have a lot of respect for John McCain, don't get me wrong. But the thing about it is that we have a man, and we're responsible to pray for him. He's our leader. Okay? And I didn't have a problem with the color. I've said for years, one of these days we're going to have a black leader, and it'll be great. I didn't have a problem with that. I have a problem with who's his God and what's his Lord. Okay? And just so you don't get upset with me about me saying his name is Barack Obama. All right? You've got to pray for him, folks. And you better pray for him. I had problems praying for Bill Clinton, but sometimes the only thing I prayed for him was that he would get saved. Okay? But at least I was praying for him, you know what I mean? But we really need to pray, because there are so many things said against our nation. And I'm not going to get into all the negatives. But the bottom line is, we can change it by prayer. My Lord said personally to me, and you know why I know it's personally? Because this is my Bible, it's got my name on it. All right? Don't you mess with my Bible. You can use it, but don't mess with it. It's mine. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. But it says, my Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever we face, folks, if we don't leave or forsake Him, hell or high water, it don't make any difference. He's closer than your breath. It ain't Jesus in you, folks. Somebody told you that, they lied. Jesus died. He was resurrected, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The resurrected, the accomplished. What God got up in victory and defeated Satan is what is in each and every one of us. And when He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and the things that you talked about earlier, brother, the bottom line is that that is a reality if we will commit ourselves onto the ways of our God and commit ourselves to the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything around you can sink, but you won't. Seriously. If we face hard times, you know what? Our life is, some people think someone called me a while back the Ancient of Days, and they thought they were funny because I'm 66. Some of you are older than that. But, but the thing about it is that if it was 166, it's nothing compared to eternity. It's time that we look past our problems. If you don't have problems, then you're serving Satan. Okay? Don't go out and look for grief. It'll find you, all right? But what I'm saying is just the reality, because His job is to bring you grief. God created evil for His own pleasure. Did you know that? Do I have to give you the verse, or can you believe that? It's in Proverbs. Take a second to find it. But He literally, you know why? Because God really is love. God loves you so much, there, little girl with the red hair. He loves you so much that you know what? He don't want to spank you. Satan's job is to bring the punishment on us. There are so many things that people go around, oh, Satan's been giving me a fright. Oh, Satan's been in my leg. And, that is Satan worship. Nearly all the grief we have is because we leave doors open. Either that, or we got generational curses, or we got ungodly soul ties that lets him in. But it is available for us to walk above our problem. It's available for us to see our enemy from the backside. You know what that means? He's fleeing, and his hind end moving and elbows going, okay? We do not have to let him control our life. If you really believe that you have eternal life, and if you don't, I'll talk to you afterwards. In fact, I stay up all night, I'll convince you of that. Because you do. It says eternal life. It doesn't say eternal conditional. That may be shooting some sacred cows. But everlasting life also is the same Greek word for everlasting God. Isn't that amazing? See, religion wants you to be afraid of losing your salvation. You can lose your rewards. But if you can get locked into your soul, into your heart, into your mind, that I am forever with the Lord, I am a child of God, then when the trouble comes, you won't doubt. What religion has done to people is make them doubt the authority they have when the problem comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can do anything and everything. I've been in the middle of riots, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they left us alone. There's a pack of wild dogs after us, and they would have eaten us. And I command in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here, dogs. You know what they did? They turned around and ran away. We had a man with an axe that was going to kill us in Romania. Boy, he was all stirred up. And I've been teaching the minister that was with me about the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And so he said, let me take care of this, Carl. I said, go ahead. He says, name of Jesus Christ, stop. The man stopped, but he kept cursing us and kept shooting off his mouth. And finally, I got tired of it. I said, name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. And he left. And Paul says, well, why didn't that work for me? I said, you got everything you asked for. You told him to stop, and he did. Nothing wrong with your faith. The problem was with what you asked for. And it's a very important thing, folks. And this is really important to raise these beautiful little girls. It's important you know this. You know, for us to face, you know, I love that song, Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow. You know, because He lives, all fear is gone. You know, we can face that uncertain future. You don't have to worry about the uncertainty of the times for your children or our grandchildren. Because He lives, we have authority. It's a different thing. You know, you read the Old Testament, you understand a lot of things, but you know what? In the Old Testament, they did not have Christ in them, the hope of glory. There would be a man that was a leader, and the Spirit of God was upon him, and you know what? He could knock it off. King Saul. All right? But see, Ephesians says God's Spirit sealed in us. We got that. It's a whole different thing. The Shunammite woman couldn't pray for her child, that miracle child. She had to go find the man of God. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of God. And we're facing times. You're going to find out what it's good for if you choose. You don't have to worry. They can shoot you and you go to, you know, you got eternal life, all right? But I want to stay in the battle. I want to stay there. I want to be there like my daddy used to say, till the last dog is hung. Whatever that meant. I never heard about hanging dogs, but... Anyway, it was a good old Irish saying, I guess. But the reality, folks, is, please, make a decision that is for you. You will serve the Lord. And then you can get to this, for me and my whole house will serve the Lord. But it's a privilege. We are so privileged. And Glenn said this to me several times, the privilege he's had to be responsible for this camp. It hasn't always felt like a privilege either. Sometimes it's like, oh, Doamne. But that's what the Romanians say. It's, oh, Lord, you know. But through it all, it's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege. You know, we got people that hate us. Hallelujah. We got people that love us. Hallelujah. But what really counts is the Spirit of God is sealed in you. And the only way Satan can steal it away is to mess up your thinking. And you know what faith is? We know what faith is. No, we don't. But we're working on it, all right? But believing is what you do with faith, right? And if you're not believing right, your faith is hindered. It's not that God has failed. It's not that the faith of Jesus Christ that was placed in each and every one of you is wrong. It's you cannot use a table knife to change a tire. All right? You've got to have the right thing to do the right job. And we can improvise. But you still, the thing you talked about, studying the Word, the study of the Word, yeah, that's prepare us for that millennial kingdom. But how about today? How many people, how many... Satan would call it, how many people are you going to take captive? See, in his thinking, when we bring people to the Lord, they've been taken captive. He's a sickle. But how many people are you going to bring to the Lord? What a privilege. I've seen the dead get up. I've seen blind see. You know, God has blessed me with so many miracles through the years. That I could not, I want to try to remember them all. Praise God, because the glory goes to Him and you move on. But the thing about it is that you got to believe the Bible, folks. You got to, when you study that word, did you know that word study does not mean just learn it? The word know, K-N-O-W, the one that has the power is gnosko. And that means to know, having experienced. Experience in it. So you study to make yourself approved. Approved not because you studied. Approved because you're doing what you're learning. And you could say, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. Baloney. But if you want to go that route, go ahead. But there's everybody in this room is so equipped, so absolutely equipped that it scares the tar out of you. And you back off. But I do believe because of God's mercy and His goodness and His love for you, He does not let you see a problem that He don't have the solution for you to experience. Seriously, folks. And has anybody got through the day without seeing a problem? You slept all day, huh? But see, God has got that solution. And He's got that strength. I mean, He didn't put a little bitsy, weeny, dabby little spirit in you that's got to grow. He put a full-blown, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in you. Right away. Satan knows your flesh is dead. And he can't get your spirit. You know what he's after? Your soul. Because your soul is where you live, and it's our job to bring our soul up to the standard of the Spirit of God in us. That is where the battle is. I hear missionaries coming back on airplanes, you know. Oh, we won 10,000 souls on this trip. They're liars. Someone gets born again, you didn't win their soul. You got him saved. You got the spirit of life, the spirit of man, infused with the spirit of God. But the battle is in the soul. And guess where you live? In your soul, right? I'm sorry, what? Amen. It's a perfect word. But see, we also have a friend of our soul. And he resides in us. But we got to realize, folks, it's not a free ride. If you want the benefits of God, you got to do the works. You got to stretch yourself. It's time to quit being a couch potato. Imagine a couch potato for Jesus. Oh, glory. You know, give me a break. You know, we pass people every day that are on their way to hell. And we've failed winning some people to the Lord, and we've kind of gotten shy. But you know what? It's not your job to convince people. Not at all. Your job to speak. The Spirit will do the convincing, all right? Just our job to speak. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to convince them. You can't be an intellectual giant for Jesus. Give me a break. The intellect didn't even start it, man. I don't believe till they went to the tree of knowledge. Didn't need it. They had perfect connection with God. But God knew they knew.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.